Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this unexpected Thanksgiving Psalms devotional. Wasn't expecting to be sitting here at home doing Psalms devotionals with you this morning. It's unexpected. That's the buzzword. But I'm glad to be here. Thankful for God's goodness and for his provision, for his loving care. Some people have asked me, by the way, what this little thing is back here. And it may look a little bit funny, but this is a little coin collector that my kids made at school to support the mission that the school supports, which is a primary school and a church in northern Kenya. But it's an African-style hut, kind of a tukulu, and it reminds me of my heart for Africa, for East Africa, for northern Uganda, South Sudan, Sudan, Kenya. It's part of my heart kind of lives in that part of the world. And I go over there once a year as I'm able to teach and train pastors with Reaching Africa's Unreached. So that's what that is, if you ever wonder, sitting there on the shelf behind me. Anyway, this is Unexpected Thanksgiving on this Monday morning of Thanksgiving week. I hope that you're doing well. With the theme of Unexpected Thanksgiving, we're going to take a look at two psalms this week that you don't normally hear in the Thanksgiving time of year. Psalm 100 is probably the most famous Thanksgiving psalm, a psalm for giving thanks. It even says in the header in your Bible, probably. others would come in the 100s, 106, 107, 108. But we're going back to the early part of the psalms, to psalms that I haven't covered in our Psalms devotionals yet, Psalm 7 and 9. Psalm 7 ends with thanksgiving, Psalm 9 opens with thanksgiving, and they both present to us challenges to how we think about thanksgiving. You see, we have our holiday traditions, and we have the things that we like in terms of, you know, places we like to be, people we like to be with, food we like to eat, things we like to see on the table, right? We have our traditions, and so Thanksgiving's become this sort of traditional holiday, and it's wonderful. I love it, right? But that's not what the heart of Thanksgiving is. The heart of Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to the Lord. So let's pray, and then we'll read Psalm 7. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which is the word of life. You alone have the words of eternal life, and you have the words that change our perspective from being locked in on ourselves and our desires and preferences and agendas, priorities, traditions, and lifting our eyes to you, to the eternal perspective of your word. And so, Father, would you please write your word on our hearts this morning and give us a spirit of thanksgiving this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 7 is a Shigeon of David. Right out of the gate, we get an unexpected word. It's probably a musical notation. A Shigeon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest, like a lion, they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you. Over it return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. O, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous, you who test the minds and hearts. O righteous God, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, give me 1 second. I did something that I need to fix. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. With a little bit of technical challenges there, I hope you felt why this psalm, of all of them, I think is best entitled Unexpected Thanksgiving, because this closing line of thanksgiving seems to come almost out of nowhere. David is so upset, he's so frustrated, he's so distressed, and with a hot, righteous anger toward the wicked, and then in the midst of talking about God's justice and how the wicked are going to be punished, he just closes the psalm with, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. So we need to look at this and see where this comes from, because it doesn't just come out of left field. David just didn't get exhausted and say, okay, I better have some positive way to end this psalm. It's actually been building the whole time. And it helps us because David is in a bad situation from his perspective. He's facing something unfair, unwelcome, and unpleasant. He's facing an accusation against him from a Benjaminite. Now, the title, we don't really know what Shigeon means. It's probably a musical term. But he's saying this to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. And what you need to know is that Saul, King Saul, was from the tribe of Benjamin. So he was a Benjaminite. And also Saul was the son of Kish. And this is someone else from the tribe of Benjamin whose name is Cush. I think it's most likely a relative of Saul. Now, there's a couple of different times when this could have been written. One is early in David's life when King Saul is pursuing him and trying to make an end of him. And you have this Cush, the Benjaminite, who's speaking against David. Maybe he betrayed him. Maybe he went and told Saul where he could be found. Maybe he accused David of wrongdoing, hoping to curry favor with King Saul as King Saul was pursuing him. So that's one, and that may be the most likely option. The second is during the time of Absalom's rebellion. So many years later, when David was king, his son Absalom led a rebellion against his kingship. And as David was fleeing from Jerusalem, there were those who mocked him and those who ridiculed him. And there may have been, unrecorded for us in the narratives, there may have been a guy named Cush, a Benjaminite, who sort of mocked him, attacked him, accused him. Whoever it is someone who's made an accusation against David without just cause. And that's really where it comes to us, is when life is unfair. Okay, so Psalm 7 is a psalm of unexpected thanksgiving when life is unfair. We don't live in a world where everything is always fair, like it should be. There are times when people will gossip about us. They will slander us. They will say things about us that just aren't true. They will think negatively about us. It happens, right? I've been a pastor and a school administrator and a high school teacher basically for almost all of my adult career life post-college. So I spent years in the classroom teaching. I spent years as a school administrator, headmaster, high school principal, and now I've been a pastor for several years. In all of those situations, you can be guaranteed that somebody's not going to be happy with you and that somebody's going to be talking about you behind your back, saying things that are probably not true or not fair. All right? This is just life in this world. And so what's interesting about Psalm 7, though, is how David claims his innocence. It's almost uncomfortable for us who are good Christians, right? We've learned to confess our sin, to acknowledge our own sinfulness, to admit our shortcomings. And yet David here is not confessing his sin as he does other places like Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. He is here confessing his own innocence, right? He's saying, I'm being pursued. They're trying to tear me apart and I'm not guilty. I haven't done anything wrong. In fact, he says it so strongly. He says, if what they're saying about me is true, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, well, then let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. But he's not guilty in this particular situation. Doesn't mean that David has no sin in his life at all, but he's not guilty in this particular situation that he's being wrongfully accused of. And so if you are suffering an injustice, where do you look? If life is not fair, where do you turn? We can turn lots of places. We can turn to politics. We can turn to social media. We can turn to texting with our friends to sort of vent our frustration, right? Where can we turn? We have lots of options. David turns to God. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. And the rest of this heart of this psalm deals with the justice of God to avenge his people against their enemies. Let the evil of the wicked come to an end. May you establish the righteous, you who test minds and hearts, O righteous God. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. There's one line in here that's very challenging. Do you see it? Very challenging for us to even begin to pray. It kind of sticks on our tongue. We can't even really get it out, right? Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. How could I ever pray that before God? The justice of God, the holy justice of God, is not something I normally turn to as a source of comfort and hope, because I'm a sinner and I can't pray to God, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. There's two things to note here. One is that David is not claiming in his circumstance an absolute righteousness, an absolute purity. He's just claiming to be innocent in this particular situation where he has been unjustly accused and persecuted. And that's why I think it best fits in the time when Saul is persecuting him, and probably someone from the tribe of Benjamin accused David of doing something wrong against Saul, which David, of course, never did. And so he's innocent in that way. But the second thing, the more important thing for us to see, is that Psalm 7 is a reminder to us that Jesus is the subject and the singer of the Psalms. Now, you may wonder how that is in Psalm 7. Well, Jesus is the one who is our righteousness. He is our integrity. He is the one who allows us to stand before a holy and just God and to be pardoned, to be seen as clean and innocent in his sight. And so Jesus is the subject of this psalm because in order for us to be able to plead with the Lord this way, we need Jesus to be our righteousness. We need Jesus to be our integrity. We need our sins forgiven. We need to be covered with the perfect righteousness of Christ. But Jesus is also the singer of the psalm in that Jesus himself was very much unjustly persecuted unto death. He was crucified without cause. He was totally innocent. He was the one who could say, I have never done anything wrong, because Jesus never offended against God or man in any thought, word, or deed his entire life. He was the truly innocent one. And as he went to the cross, we know that he prayed regarding the Roman soldiers, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But we also know what he said to the people of Jerusalem, to the daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. He said, O daughters of Jerusalem, weep for yourselves, for the time is coming when they will lay this city to waste in the justice of God. Jesus was unjustly persecuted unto death, and the enemies who knowingly unjustly persecuted him to death did have the kingdom removed from them. And they were punished by God's justice when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem. That's an unusual way to think. I told you it's an unexpected Thanksgiving. For us, living in a troublingly wicked world, what is our hope? Let's get real for a minute. We live in a disturbingly wicked world. Millions of babies, innocent, tiny, helpless babies, are brutally poisoned and dismembered in their mother's wombs legally around this world. It's estimated that perhaps as many as 1 billion babies have been legally aborted in the past 40 years, since 1980. We live in a world where petty dictators seize power with a small band of armed men, and then they impose their will on their country, and they execute their political enemies, and they steal from the national treasury, and they devastate the land. And that happens not every once in a while. It happens all the time. People lie. People cheat. People steal. People conceive evil. They are pregnant with mischief. They give birth to lies. We live in a wicked, wicked world, and our hearts are sinful. We know where these things come from because there's the kernel of them in our own hearts, restrained by God's grace, praise be to God. Where is our hope in this kind of a world? You can be led into despair. You can just say, forget it all. It's a terrible world. What's the point? And David and God and Christ want us to find our hope in the justice of God. God's justice will deal rightly with the wickedness that is in the world. And that's why, right as David is describing the justice of God that will repay the wicked, that will punish the evildoer, he then concludes with thanksgiving. And the thanksgiving is very specific. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. Righteousness here refers to the character of God as judge. The character of God as judge. He is the righteous judge who can never be bribed, who is not corrupt, who never errs, whose justice is upright and perfect. So I will give to the Lord, to Yahweh, the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. And here is a reminder, the very last word of the psalm, that whatever the powers of the world may be, and however wicked they may be, the Lord, Yahweh, is the Most High. He who never changes, he who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he who is perfect in his righteousness, is the Most High. all will give account to him at the end of the world. Our unexpected thanksgiving for this morning from Psalm 7 is this. We live in an unfair world, and sometimes we can be the victims of unjust treatment. We can look around the world and despair at the prospering wickedness in the world. But we trust in the Lord, and we will resolve. There's a resolve here. I will give, I will sing. I will give thanks, I will sing praise. We can resolve to remember what is ultimately and eternally true, and that is all the wickedness of the nations is but temporary. All of the evil plans in the world are just for a time. The Lord is coming. He will settle all accounts. He will vindicate his own. He will make a final end of all evil. The righteous Most High Judge will make everything right in the end. And with that knowledge, with that truth, it's not a wishful thinking, hope against hope. With that knowledge, without truth to anchor our souls, we can have the same resolve as David and say, I will give the Lord the thanks that's due to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, for he is the Most High. That's a powerful thanksgiving. It's not a nice, soft, fuzzy, you know, greeting card thanksgiving. It's a powerful, strong thanksgiving because it stands up in a realistically unjust world and says God is the Most High and he is righteous. Let's pray and give him thanks. Heavenly Father, you are the Most High God. You are the Most High God, and you are righteous in all of your ways, unbendingly, unflinchingly righteous. And you will judge. You are coming to judge the world. So we can trust you. We can put our hearts completely in your hands, and we can trust in you. We're safe with you. But Father, we are also to give you thanks. For you have not treated us as our sins deserve. You have given us a righteousness that is not our own, but is Christ in us, the hope of glory. You have covered our sins by the blood of Jesus. You have covered our shame with the righteousness of Jesus. You have made us holy in your sight so that when that day of judgment comes, we will stand before you forgiven and redeemed and loved. And we thank you. We thank you for your justice and for your mercy, for your righteousness and for your grace. Let us thank you now and always, for you are always worthy of our thanksgiving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I hope that was encouraging to you, even if it was unexpected. Psalm 9 we will look at on Wednesday morning. I hope to see you then, 8:30 Wednesday morning for Psalm 9. Have a blessed day in the Lord, and don't forget to give him thanks throughout this day.